This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Wednesday, July 7th. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We continue to pray this morning for all of those in the path of Tropical Storm Elsa in Florida, as well as the recovery efforts at the site of the Surfside condo collapse. All the families who lost loved ones are in our prayers, and we also continue to pray for the full recovery for the Holy Father, Pope Francis, who is recovering from surgery at Gemelli Hospital in Rome. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a regular contributor to Relevant Radio who will talk to us about the Liturgy of the Hours. Is this prayer of the Church only for priests and religious, or can anyone of us take it up? A little bit later this hour, our success coach, Dave Duran, will join us to talk about growing pains that we try to control, but that we actually need to embrace. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner a little later in the show. All that and more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. As you know, we always start every day and every hour giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, when we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, in this year of Saint Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. We invoke the Holy Spirit every day when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ promised before He ascended into heaven that He would be with us always. Jesus is always present to us now and forever. He has no reason to change because He is God in the flesh. He cannot change. Even though we live in a world that is always changing and eventually will pass away, the Word made flesh, Jesus the Lord, will never change, and He is with us always through the Holy Spirit, in His true presence in the Holy Eucharist. And we always finish up praying, Jesus, I trust in You. Now, when you hear the word liturgy, what do you think of? Well, the Mass, of course. But did you know that the Liturgy of the Hours is also known as the Divine Office, and that is also liturgy? And lay people are invited to pray this liturgy. And if you're up early enough, you can pray morning prayer at 4 a.m. Central with Paul Sadek on Daybreak every day here on a Relevant Radio. Believe me, I'm up at that hour getting ready to come into the office here, into the studio. I catch it every morning. It's part of my prep. Or you can always listen to the podcast on the Relevant Radio app. Now, the Office of the Sacred Congregation for Divine Worship says, from ancient times, the Church has had the custom of celebrating each day the Liturgy of the Hours. In this way, the Church fulfills the Lord's precept to pray without ceasing, at once offering its praise to God the Father and interceding for the salvation of the world. And now joining us to share more on the Liturgy of the Hours is our spiritual director today, Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a Relevant Radio regular contributor. Good morning, Father Tyone. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's always a blessing to be with you.
And likewise, and greeting to all our listeners today, and I'm really happy we choosing this topic to hopefully share some insights about and some experiences that people have had in this tremendous tradition in the church that is Liturgy of the Hours. So great to be with you.
Well, Father Taillon, first of all, can you explain to us, can you define a liturgy and why it means both Mass and the Liturgy of the Hours?
Certainly. So liturgy is whenever, obviously, when the work of the church is prayer. And, you know, obviously the most important thing we can all do is to pray. And obviously the Mass and the Eucharist is the height, source, and summit of our life. But I think a lot of Catholics aren't aware of the Liturgy of the Hours. And Liturgy of the Hours is really, I mean, every priest and religious commits to do that five times a day. And you might, maybe you've seen it before, but there's a one-volume Liturgy of the Hours, and then monks and sisters and priests that are committed to this have what's like a four-volume set. Sometimes you see, maybe you've seen a priest or religious carrying a black book around or a book that looks like a Bible. It's got ribbons hanging out.
Got it here sitting on top of my anchor desk, Father Taillon. In fact, it belongs to my wife who has been a lay Dominican in the past, and so we have the full volume. And I tell you, you really got to know what you're doing to manage your way through these four volumes. You got to know how to use the ribbons and how to go from one part to the other.
Yeah, so obviously a lot of people think we're carrying a Bible when they see religious or priests or even lay people carrying that. But it is intimidating at first. I think you touch on a good point. So it's sort of, you know, there are little cheat sheets you can buy as to what section on what day, because it's a four-week cycle that goes through, and there's different psalms and things are assigned. So what's the reason for the Liturgy of the Hours? It punctuates and sanctifies the different hours, literally, of the day. So it's really good, right? Sometimes people pray the Angelus at noon and 6 o'clock, and they're punctuating, remembering the Incarnation, invoking Our Lady at certain times of the day. So obviously there's cycles and seasons to our lives, to the liturgical year, but the Liturgy of the Hours goes even deeper in that. It kind of flows from the Mass and goes back to the Mass. The prayers of the day are the same ones that are the saint or the Mass of the day, what we call the collects or the prayers. So there's an incredible connection, but it is intimidating. So I'm just going to be honest with our listeners today. And it's fascinatingly, it's beautiful. I encourage you to take it up, but don't be intimidated by the sort of the number of pages. And I remember going in seminary, one of the hardest things about joining seminary or a religious community, if you don't know what the Liturgy of the Hours is, you go in, everyone's sort of in this book when paging back and forth like a routine, and I remember distinctly being overwhelmed and a little bit feeling almost embarrassed, like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to do this. And still, I use the cheat sheet today, and there's these little directions you have, and some people do it on the phone, and they kind of, there's apps like that, and Relevant Radio has things, and they can sort of scroll down. But I love the book itself, having all the volumes in front of you and having all of that is part, I think, of the deep experience of it. And you really get kind of your books, the books I've had are with me all my life, they're worn, and they're very, I'm close to them in a sense. There's a great a spiritual sentimentality because you've been praying for the people of the church. So Liturgy of the Hours of the Church at Prayer, and you think about it right now around the world, think of how many Catholics are praying the Liturgy of the Hours. And Pope Francis, if you're on the East Coast of the United States, he prayed 6 hours ago. He prayed the morning prayers and what we call the Office of Readings, the deeper, longer readings about the day or the feast. And then you're joining in. I remember distinctly in seminary, living in Rome, we were traveling and we were in the middle of nowhere at some church. And we went in and the priest had the same book we had in German. We were in Austria, I believe, in Germany, and this priest opened his book, we opened our book, and we actually prayed together, Liturgy of the Hours. He spoke in German. It's all the same thing. If you're doing the right thing, it's all the same thing everywhere. It was such an experience of Liturgy of the Hours for me because he was praying the same things we were in another language. It was such an experience of the universality of the church's always at prayer. So maybe you don't feel like praying some days, regular prayer, maybe you're having a bad day. You can think of the lay people, the priests and religious, the church is praying all around the world this extraordinary gift that is Liturgy of the Hours or the Breviary, and that is going on all the time. It's really for the sake of the world and the church. We pray for the church, so it's not a selfish prayer. It's for others, and it just enters one into the liturgical cycle or seasons of the year in a much more deep and profound way. So if you're listening today, you don't know what a breviary is, you don't know Liturgy of the Hours, I'd encourage you to get a single volume. People that subscribe to Magnificat and other of those kinds of books, they have pieces of it inside. I've seen, you know, Magnificat's a nice way to start to have pieces of it in there, but you can get a one-volume set, get the guide, the little cheat sheet that comes with it. Don't be intimidated, and it's a great way to enter more and to prepare yourself for Mass, and also, like your wife does, I mean, lay people have committed spiritually to praying some of the hours of the day. Deacons pray 2 of the 5 hours. Priests, religious, pray 5. And it's an amazing thing, and it's an amazing ebb and flow that prepares us and again punctuates our mornings, our nights with the Lord, joining many other people around the world. So it's the church is always at prayer, and it deepens our experience of Mass. It prepares us for that. It delves into the writings. There's 2 readings in the morning. One's from Scripture, and the other one is a writing of a saint or a church father. You end up reading from the early centuries of the writings of the church one day. The next day, it's, you know, Thomas a Kempis, Imitation of Christ, we know what that is, or St. Francis de Sales, you know, these very insightful things. So there is such a wealth of that. But the thing is, you never pray the office alone because you're always with others. So monks chant that. People know what Gregorian chant is. Sometimes people don't really know that the Gregorian chant is the Liturgy of the Hours being sung, sometimes in Latin or other languages, and it's so soothing to hear that. But oftentimes people don't know that's the Liturgy of the Hours being chanted. When they go to a monastery of nuns or monks, so nuns and monks are not the same always, as they live in a stable community, and their work is prayer. Oftentimes a monastic community will be really centering their life around the Liturgy of the Hours, and especially the Mass, but they chant it, and they chant so beautifully, and most of us pray it alone or pray with another priest or seminarian or another lay person or a little group, but sometimes people even gather lay groups together to pray them before or after morning Mass. You might see that, so be on alert. It's not always a Bible people are carrying it. There's a lot of Scripture in the breviary, right? It's full of the Scriptures, but it's just a, you know, people do wine tasting or food tasting. The Liturgy of the Hours is a tasting of the Church Fathers, the Psalms especially, the biblical writings of biblical Scripture. So it has everything, but just, you know, I encourage you to try it, and don't be intimidated by the book and the flipping the pages, but to really go in there, and if you've never, ever done a breviary, you don't have a breviary, just try to obtain a one volume and start there. Maybe visit a local monastery, or if you know lay people that pray the breviary, ask them what that's like. Or maybe if you're listening today, you've had good experience around that, or you're just discovering it perhaps, or, you know, you're not really sure much about it, but it is a great gift, and certainly it's an obligation for us as priests. We commit to pray that. It's one of the promises, and, you know, people know about celibacy, obedience to the bishop, but the third promise a Dacian priest makes is to pray the Liturgy of the Hours, which is it's a heavy lift. It takes a lot of time. It's a commitment. We do it for the people of God, our spouse, which is the church herself, the people of God, and we pray that for her, and again, I loved seminary because I used to pray it in common with a lot of people together, and the singing is wonderful, but we join in that universal prayer of the church when we pray it even alone. So encourage you to get to know what it's about. If you don't know what it is, I just really, really encourage you to discover that. We say we have summer reading, it's summertime where we are, and I think it's important to maybe make that a summer goal, to discover Liturgy of the Hours and to see what that's about and see if the Lord might be calling you to start incorporating that. Sometimes morning and evening prayer is the best place to start, or what's called compline or night prayer. It's a short prayer of the day. You examine your conscience, then you pray these wonderful prayers that in the evening. You pray that before you go to bed. Again, the office is usually prayed in the morning, the longer one, as you mentioned. I don't get up at 4 o'clock to pray with Ralph Radio. I do it later. True confession.
You can always go to the podcast, Father.
That's right. I do it later. That's right. But it's a great thing. So it's a great topic because I think it's unknown by a lot of lay people. It's too bad. I think we just need to have it discovered. And also even, I think the tradition of listening to the monks praying, we have some monasteries here, Wrentham, Massachusetts, the sisters up there, Trappistines. I go up there sometimes and you can just slide into a monastery, a monastic community, and just experience it there. If you have one in your diocese or where you live, or if you know a religious community that lives together in common, they would ordinarily pray that together. And like your wife, again, some lay associations when they meet will pray the Liturgy of the Hours. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's diverse. It changes every day. And you go back and you cycle through all these readings. And every year, some different readings will come up, and you remember praying it 2 or 3 years ago and what struck you then. It's almost like a marker on your life, because Liturgy of the Hours responds, the Psalms, some are joyful, some are sorrowful, and sort of the writers, the Psalms are a large part of this. This comes from the Jewish tradition, right? In the Jewish tradition, Jesus knew the 150 Psalms. He prayed them. The Holy Family knew them. They would pray them. So the church, born in Jesus Christ, has really developed about Christ, coming from that Jewish tradition, the chanting and the recitation of marking different sanctifying parts of our days, that we know God is with us always while we're sleeping and we awake, and we make that time for Him, and the Liturgy of the Hours gives that, it sanctifies that time for us. Now, if you're a busy mom or dad, or you're busy at work, again, maybe sometimes in the morning is a good time to start Liturgy of the Hours. Sometimes people have more time. If they make time in the morning to get up, that's a solid time where usually they can get more done. If they're going to try something like this, something that's going to develop like a habit, a repeated thing we do that's good. And again, I think summertime is a great time to discover the liturgy and Liturgy of the Hours. And I would encourage everyone to buy a one-volume breviary and have that, and maybe ask someone to teach you. Maybe your clergy, your priest can teach you. Again, it's not that overwhelming, but it's a little intimidating at first. But once you get into it, it's an incredible thing, and it leads us to the Eucharist. It leads us into deeper liturgy of the seasons of the year, and it's a fantastic way to pray that's always readily available. So, again, I think it's a great topic. It's one of the great secrets of the Church is Liturgy of the Hours, and I think people are not as aware as they could and should be about it unless they already know. So great topic today. Appreciate you.
Without a doubt. And Liturgy of the Hours is so rich in scripture, tradition, church fathers. It's there's so much good stuff in there. It's like a smorgasbord. You don't know where to begin. I want to invite our listeners, if you currently pray the Liturgy of the Hours, and you'd like to share what that experience is like, give us a call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're joined by Father Marcel Tayon, our spiritual director today, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island. Father, for you as a pastor of a church, and for priests day in and day out, how challenging it is at times, as busy as you get, how challenging to be able to fulfill that obligation, those five times a day that you're required to pray the Liturgy of the Hours?
It's a great question. So it's one of the great, it's not always easy to do it, right? We just get busy. The day gets away. How many hours do you pray in the morning? Can you punctuate? This is what's called daytime prayer. So sometimes, totally honest, it's really hard to get it done because especially if you're out in an active apostolate, whatever it is, things get going and you need to do it. So it is, I don't like the word burden, but it's a great responsibility. It's an enormous responsibility, and it's something that faithful priests and religious have committed to do. So, you know, it's important, again, celibacy, obedience, and prayer. It's the prayer of the church. And some days it's not easy because you're just going all over the place, get weddings or funerals and pastoral appointments, responsibilities. You're praying and you're preparing your homilies, but you need to make the time to do it, be faithful to that promise. So it's an enormous responsibility, and it takes a lot of time and energy for priests to do it. So, you know, I think it's something we promised to Jesus to do for the people of God and the church. I also think it's good for us because it's a discipline. So it's a lively, loving call to prayer. Again, we do it with others around the world, but it is something we've promised to do. A lot of people think celibacy is sort of such a hard promise, and honestly, if someone has a celibate heart and is a spiritual father or spiritual mother and has beautiful experiences with that, the Liturgy of the Hours is often the promise that's the hardest in a sense, or the most demanding on a day-to-day basis, because it's the one that's all day long and all night. We always have to do these prayers we've promised to do. So it is a challenge, but it's always a gift because, gosh, you just, the there's always some part of the liturgy that was, always touches me and many of my friends I know. It's very moving when it just it speaks to even the apostolates that we all have. And that's the same thing for lay people. People have a lay apostolate, right? If you're a mom or a dad, grandmother, grandfather, son or daughter, if you have ministry, whatever your ministry is in your parish or whatever you're doing, you know, that apostolate it will be touched. If you start the Liturgy of the Hours, it'll also prepare you for Mass. I just find it's extraordinary that, again, all the prayers point to, you know, we have certain parts of it where it highlights the gospel for Sundays on Saturday night and Sunday morning, Sunday night. So there's a cycle of lectionary readings and they change. So it's almost, it's a foreshadowing getting you ready for the gospel on Sunday. It'll come up in the prayers of that particular Sunday, that particular feast day. And the writings, if it's Corpus Christi, it'll all be the writings of Thomas Aquinas or a church father on the Eucharist. Or so it's amazing. And again, July and August are the best time to start Liturgy of the Hours because the saints in the summertime, it's amazing. I find July and August have the best saints on the church's calendar. And their writings are part of Liturgy of the Hours. So you just get these magnificent treasury every day of all the saints. So, you know, so you also you keep up with who the saints are on the calendar, but you also get their readings in the morning, and it's a powerful tool. So, yeah, and it's hard to do. I think priests and religious that will be honest with people will it is sort of it's a responsibility. It's and sometimes it's really hard to crowbar the breviary into a day, especially if the day's gone wild. But we do it, and we do it out of love, and we do it. And it's always a help. It's the wisdom of the church. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's living out our commitment for God's people, and it always feeds us, even when it's particularly hard to find time to do it. I did, you know, had great prayer this morning. Liturgy of the Hours was great today, and it's getting me ready for Mass later on today, and it's just a gift. So, great question, and you know, I think we need to pick up the breviary, discover it, get into it, and it'll make Mass better for all of us, whoever does it.
No question about it. It will deepen our prayer life and, as you said, Father, get us ready for Mass. And this is a gift that we always have not been able to do as lay people because traditionally over the centuries it was not required for lay people. But now lay people can also pray just like the priest and the religious. 30 seconds, Father.
Yeah, so again, I encourage everyone to pick up the breviary and to get there's a little guide you can get, and maybe you want to discover it. Maybe you want to start on the phone and just take a look at it and see what it's like for you. Maybe you buy the, but I think you should buy the single volume breviary and start with morning prayer or evening prayer and then what's called night prayer. That's the best place to start, morning prayer, evening prayer, and compliment what's called night prayer. And don't get overwhelmed. Just try one of the 5 hours and start that as part of your routine in the morning. It'll have scripture for you, and it'll set you up and keep you grounded. It certainly keeps me anchored, and I appreciate in my life. It's a great part of my own relationship with Jesus, and I hope it is for you too, or will become that. So I encourage you, and amen to that. Great, great topic.
Amen. Our spiritual director, Father Marcel Taillon, the pastor at St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a Relevant Radio regular contributor. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, our success coach, Dave Duran, will be with us to talk about growing pains that we try to control, but we need to embrace, and that'll come after today's gospel reading from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Stay with us. There's much more to come on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Show me that smile again. Don't waste another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near the end. The best is ready to begin.
Oh. 31 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. I want to start this half hour in prayer. I want to ask for prayers for the people of the nation of Haiti. The entire island is in mourning this morning as breaking news has come down. We now know that the president of Haiti has been assassinated overnight. The first lady is in the hospital. Just a barbaric act. And of course, our Glenn Leverance will have much more on this story at the top of the hour. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, have you ever heard of any of these phrases? Join this program and you'll lose 50 pounds in 3 days. I don't want to go to the party because that person I don't like will be there. Or I have this difficult situation to make, but I'm just putting it off. Do any of these phrases sound familiar to you? Well, in today's day and age, we try to avoid pain and suffering as much as possible without realizing that both can actually make us holy. And now it's time to talk with our personal success coach, Dave Durant, to discuss growing pains that we try to control, but we need to embrace. Dave is an author, speaker, and the co-founder and CEO of Decided Excellence Catholic Media, the co-founder and CEO of Best Version Media, and was a co-founder of Lighthouse Catholic Media, as well as the host of the Dave Durant Show here on Relevant Radio, which you can listen to on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Central. Dave, good morning. Thanks so much for being with us. It's always great to be with you.
Hey, John, great to be with you. And the throwback of the Growing Pains sitcom. I wonder how many people recognize that. Pretty impressive. I am.
Oh, we are dating ourselves too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, thank you, Mariano. Mariano's always on the lookout for tunes that connect to our segments. Dave, so many of us are used to trying to avoid suffering and pain all at once at all costs. How does embracing pain instead perhaps is the better way to go, is better for us?
Well, you know, this is one of those things where it's kind of like the classic prudential judgment on pain, right? If we have a headache, you know, I'm the first to say, you know, some Excedrin would work right now, right? The idea is that there are pains that are reasonably escapable, okay? And then there are pains that are not really escapable, and the escapes that we try to use to get out of them are generally destructive. So there's a mix. Now, of course, there's a time where a person has a headache and they say, you know what, I have this headache, I'm just going to offer this up. There's a penance that I want to offer to somebody or for my own holiness. And, you know, that's a holy sort of thing, these mortifications. To a non-Catholic ears, that might sound a little bit ridiculous, but there's a reality of that, to not squander pain. But it's also very appropriate to say, I have a certain pain. I just went to the dentist. I had a procedure. I need something to make that pain go away. I think this is important so we don't kind of overlook at this, because many people look at these sorts of pains as the physical oriented types of pains. And we certainly have modern medicine to help with those. And what a gift, praise God. There are other types of pains too. And those are the ones that you kind of mentioned in the beginning there, around that person I don't feel like being around, or the work that it's going to take in order to do something. So when you try to escape those pains, the pain of work to repair a relationship, then we basically have the destruction of the relationship. We are afraid of the work to build a business, the restraint or work that it takes to save money to do something, the work or effort that it takes to have temperance and fortitude in life to have a lot of things happen. So that's another way of looking at this, which is the work that is required in order for good things to come. But that's also separate from the biggest one, which is the most powerful thing, and it's one I kind of led with, and that is the idea that we can offer up our sufferings for our holiness and the holiness of others. Again, this is a foreign thing. I mean, any Catholic son or daughter remembers their mother and father saying, offer it up, okay? But that is not something that generally happens in other households, because that sounds silly. Offer it up to what? But when we recognize, and by the way, just a brief perusing, like a casual perusing of the Bible will tell you that this is a part of what it means to actually be a Christian, you know, to take up your cross, to bear suffering.
St. Paul is all over it. He rejoices in our sufferings, and we unite our sufferings to those of our Lord Jesus Christ. I always love the image of our little tiny cross uniting to the big cross of our Lord on Calvary.
Said perfectly. I mean, that's exactly right. So when we unite these sufferings, we have a better thing. So we need to be, you know, prudential about it, but we never want to squander any opportunity to offer up suffering when we have it, and particularly when we're trapped, John, in suffering that we really can't escape. And that does actually happen, where there is suffering that the only escape would be drugs or alcohol or running away or bad behaviors. And that is especially a time where we need to exercise restraint there, but then when we're in the midst of that suffering, to offer that up to God.
Dave, can you talk about how solving problems can make us actually relevant instead of avoiding those problems?
Well, this is really an essential thing, and this is something that I remind everybody in the workplace, is you have a problem that you need to solve, and that's why you're employed. There is no such thing as having a job that doesn't solve a problem, and if, in fact, you have a job that doesn't solve a problem, that job is either detrimental, dangerous, or will go away. And that even includes the entertainment business. You know, there are people in the entertainment business, and they're an actor and actress, and somebody might say, well, why is this? You know, then there's all this talk about essential, non-essential. It's a good thing for people to have good, wholesome entertainment. And there's a problem. They don't have it. We need to have it. Well, we need actors. We need writers. We need directors. Well, here we have them. And so the problem that is being solved doesn't need to be a world crisis. But it needs to be some sort of problem that needs to be solved. Hey, you know what? We need somebody to open the door for people when they come here. That's a problem. Let's solve it. How? Let's get someone to open the door. Problem solved. And so we have to remember that when we have a problem and we're solving it, we're relevant. If you're a person who walks through the world, walks through life, never solving any problems or contributing to the solution of this solving of a problem, you're a person who walks around in general irrelevance when it comes to these sorts of things, and that is not a satisfying thing for any human being.
I want to invite our listeners, if you want to share your experience of growing pains, perhaps you at times have felt like you just couldn't control them, or you have any other question for our success coach, Dave Durand, call us 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Dave, how can we better deal with difficult people? That could also be a cross for many of us.
I think one of the ways that we learn to deal more effectively with people that are difficult to be around, and really, if you want to take a program and a show and you say, okay, what is your pain? What is your growing pain? The list is going to be unlimited. But one of the things that we will find is that the largest portion of the list will include other people who somehow have hurt me, irritated me, or bothered me. That's the biggest portion of the list. You know, sometimes people are irritated by a thing. Oftentimes they're irritated by a circumstance, but that circumstance is almost always led by a person. There's a person involved. If somebody's bothered because they're getting bad service and their car is broken, they're not as much frustrated by their car as they are the service person is not providing that service, let alone any other relationship. So I think the best way to begin with this is to say that very rarely is there a person who every single person wants to be around. Now, I know many of those people actually in my life, but I would say that, you know, most people in some way or another rub somebody according to their personality wrong, or according to the circumstance, or maybe they had different points of view on things, and one person around their political, social, religious worldview gets along just fine with everyone, but now they enter into the opposite political worldview, and that group of people now are highly irritated with them. So it's not necessarily about personality. It's not about temperance. It's really about the fact that human beings are complex when you add their temperament, their personality, their worldviews, their ideas, whether they're zealous or they're not zealous, all of these different types of things. So let's remember that others need to endure us. And if we remember that first, then we can begin by saying, if others are going to endure me, then I certainly am going to endure them. And then I think we just look at some of the examples of the saints. Saint Therese, of course, one of the best ones ever, which is to say that, you know, she said, and I paraphrase this, and I should memorize it specifically and directly and repeat it, you know, every single day because it's that good. But to never be shocked or surprised by the faults in others, but to be highly, delighted by the slightest bit of virtue. I definitely butchered the way she said it, but the point is still there. To never be shocked or surprised by bad behaviors of others, but always be delighted with the slightest bit of virtue demonstrated by somebody else. And to live that way is probably the greatest summary that I've ever heard on dealing with difficult people.
That's outstanding. And you throw in Mother Teresa, who used to try to see Christ in everybody. I think it's important to have that spiritual perspective, even when folks that kind of rub us the wrong way and we don't especially like them. If we can somehow see just a little bit of the light of Christ in that person, I think that would be a good thing.
Well, you know, because when you think about it, we're all capable of doing the worst things in the world, okay? But we are incapable of doing good without God. And so that's why when we recognize good, even in a person who generally behaves badly, that's where Christ comes in. And if that is sparked and there's a fire lit on that good that takes place in that person's soul, then some of the stories of the saints come from some of the darkest places into places of tremendous light and good.
We're going to take a short break as we continue talking about growing pains we try to control but need to embrace with our success coach, Dave Durant, the co-founder and CEO of Decided Excellence Catholic Media. Stay with us. We'll be back with much more after this timeout. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Sure plays a mean pinball.
46 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us as we continue our conversation with our success coach, Dave Durant. We're talking about growing pains that we try to control, but we need to embrace. If you want to jump into this conversation, please give us a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We have open lines as we speak. Dave, sometimes because of the fear of suffering, we just want to stay exactly where we are in that little comfort zone, not really wanting to make any progress. What are some of the things that we hold on that enable us to progress?
Well, we hold on to, you know, the idea of past relationships, money, ideas, possessions, things like, you know, businesses, positions, titles. We even hold on to the past when it comes to our physical health. These are things which I think it's very important to stress are understandable to want to hold on to. I mean, there are times where we have something that is a really good situation. But what it really does is it fails to understand how kind of transient.
It sounds like we're having a technical issue with our connection with Dave Durant, our success coach, who's joining us. Dave, the host of the Dave Durant Show, which, of course, you can listen to here on Relevant Radio every Saturday morning at 10 Central. We're talking about a very interesting issue here this morning. And in fact, if you feel like you have had to deal with the growing pains in business, in your personal life, and you want to ask Dave a question, our success coach, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We've been talking about avoiding suffering and pain all at once, and how oftentimes dealing with that pain is very helpful. And, you know, I'm always encouraged by the Word of God. You can learn so much about some of these issues in real life from the Word of God. For example, St. Paul in Romans 5:3 writes, "More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us." So there is a benefit to some of the tribulations and some of the suffering that we deal with. It does provide character, and that's a little bit about what we've been talking about. I guess we're back with Dave. Are you back with us?
Yeah, by the way, how ironic that we're talking about challenges and life being an adventure, and then all of a sudden somehow I got disconnected. Life is an adventure.
Life is an adventure. Yeah, that's live radio. It's you know sometimes we just don't know what is going on out there in the internet and phone world with our connections. And but I'm glad that we got you back. We started to talk about the comfort zone and people not wanting to progress. And you were mentioning how we hold on to money and titles and even our relationships. And sometimes that stuff is good and sometimes it's not.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing is that I should say those situations are good. Hanging on to them when they are inevitably changed can be the hard part. So when they do evolve, when they do change, we have to look at life as an adventure. And actually, if you think about St. Paul's life, of all people, when he goes back and kind of, you know, reads what he had gone through, you know, shipwrecks, you know, stoning, he survived all of these different sufferings that he had. And those things are clearly an adventure. And somebody like, you know, St. Paul could have looked back and say, you know, I remember the day before I was a Christian, the things were pretty good. I had a lot of power or authority. I was the attacker, not being attacked. And of course, there's the goodness in the adventure toward holiness that he was on, right, was paramount. And that required suffering. It just does. It requires us to be detached. And this is one of the things that's difficult for us, is that we'll work very hard for something. Now we have that thing, so we become attached to it. So we wanted that thing because we thought working toward it would give us a certain freedom now that we have it. And then once we have it, we become prisoners to that thing because we won't let go of it. So it's to work toward the accomplishment of those things. That could be a relationship, it could be financial, it could be a title, it could be a degree. And then once we have them, though, to not be attached to them, to use them for the freedoms they can provide without making them a cell that is locked from the inside.
Dave, it's so easy to see the need for other people to change instead of sometimes looking inside of ourselves and see what do we need to do to change. Is it just kind of human nature to be looking at the other guy instead of inside?
Yeah, and 100%, this is a symptom of pride. So pride, of course, is something that, you know, theologians will tell us and we are wise to listen to. Is at the core of every sin. There is no sin that does not have with it some sort of portion of pride, which allows it to actually manifest to its fullness. So what happens is when we have pride, pride is the vice and the sin that comes with blindness. We cannot see our own pride. We can see others' pride very, very easily when we cannot see our own. So we have to pray for humility. And that humility will allow us to actually reduce our pride, which therefore allows us to see our error. But if the pride remains, then we can't see the error. That's the interesting thing. The humility reduces the pride. It's kind of like pulling blindfolds off us, so now we can see what our behavior was. And that allows us to change. But it's a good thing to kind of say to ourselves, you know, if I am highly irritated by another person's behavior, like, kind of almost irrationally irritated by their behavior, and I am like kind of self-righteous about it, okay? There may be a sign that I have a similar or a related sin in there. Now, that doesn't mean that all righteous anger or frustration is a reflection upon ourselves. People are trying to use that actually against you, and that's a bad idea. There's a disordered portion that can be a sign of that, not a properly ordered portion. If we don't like bad behaviors or sinful behaviors, and so therefore we want to correct those, or we want to fight against those, or we want to educate our children against those sorts of things, and they might have a certain level of disgust that we have toward them, then that can be ordered. But when that becomes disordered and becomes like a hyper intense, not fight, the fight can remain the same because we have to fight against evil, but when it becomes like this sort of attack, there is oftentimes a sign that maybe there's something we don't like about ourselves and we need to change.
Give us a call if you have any questions or thoughts on growing pains for Dave Durant, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Dave, Rich Donnelly, a longtime baseball coach with many big league teams, once said, in fact, he said it in my old baseball movie, Champions of Faith, there's two types of people in this world, those who are humble and those who are about to be. Life has a way of making us humble, whether we're in sports or in the business world.
There is no doubt about that. And, you know, we would all like to be able to have a highlight reel of all of our greatest moments recorded for the world to see, right? But the fact of the matter is, the main stage of most of our lives is those low life moments, those things where we just really did not behave the way we should have, and we were humbled. And those are the things that actually create the opportunity for goodness to take place in our lives. And they are also the thing that allows us to regulate the goodness when it is in our lives, so that we don't have something that was good now become bad, where we have worked hard to get in a position of authority or power to do good things for the right reasons, and now we're in it, and then what happens? Absolute power, you know, corrupts absolutely, right? And we can fall into these traps. And so we either need to remain humble when we have that position, or we will be humbled. And the way to be humbled, by the way, is like a self-humiliation. If we actually say, you know, and by the way, I've heard the great prayer to our guardian angel and Our Lady of Sorrows to humiliate us interiorly, to say, Lord, humiliate me interiorly. And I ask Our Lady of Sorrows and my guardian angel, who know me well, to allow me to see where I have my pride and I interact in the day. And all of a sudden it gives you a pensiveness. You're like, why did I say that? Well, because I wanted to glorify myself. Why did I do that? Because I wanted attention. I actually can become so embarrassed by this humiliation interiorly that I've changed the prayer a little bit. It actually says something probably about my weakness, but I say, Our Lady of Sorrows, my guardian angel, please humiliate me interior, but do me a favor and get me to catch on to it before I actually say or do the thing that's going to humiliate me. Give me that kind of signal grace to not do it.
Absolutely. Dave, how can we be holier if we embrace some of these moderate pains that we deal with in our daily lives?
Well, we can become made holy. We can be sanctified through the suffering that we do. So, you know, if we think about this, the suffering that we need, you know, our Lord forgives our sins. You know, that's what has happened. And we have to pay attention to the authority of the church. I think this is one of the mistakes that people make, is they try to figure out salvation on their own. Well, God would do this, or God wouldn't do that, or I would do this, or this would be fair, or that would be fair. But God's ways are not our own ways, and his authority is not our authority. So he gave authority to the church, and he has his own ways. So what does that allow us to do? It allows us to ask for forgiveness and then go to confession. When we ask for forgiveness and go to confession and we say our penance, our sins are forgiven. Now there's a purification that needs to take place. But oftentimes we will have this opportunity where we get a plenary indulgence and we have the opportunity to have that suffering taken away from us. And if we were to die at that moment in true faith, trust, and with a perfect confession, that we would absolutely receive God's grace. But in the meantime, though, what we need to do is we need to be perfected. And if we die and we're in the state of grace, but we are not perfected, meaning that there has not been sufficient penance for our sins, then we will have those burned off in purgatory. And this is the teaching of the church. There are even Catholics who go, well, I don't know if that makes sense. It doesn't matter if you think it makes sense. God does, and he gave the authority of the church to teach it to us. So that's all that really matters, right? And that's what faith is. So we are wise to do that sort of penance even ahead of time, to purify ourselves through the grace of God in order to be with him for an eternity and forever. So that's why I say, oh, wait a second, I can do a little bit of suffering here, and that would allow me to be with God, you know, in heaven right when I die, and not be, you know, have to suffer the pains of purgatory. Well, now all of a sudden I see the suffering as, yeah, I don't like it, but it doesn't have no value. It has value. And I can even use those sufferings to actually offer to somebody else, which are also incredible.
Well, Dave, outstanding perspective. Thanks so much, as always, for giving us a spiritual perspective on growing pains. Thanks so much, Dave.
Thanks, John.
Dave Durant, co-founder and CEO of Decided Excellence Catholic Media at decidedexcellence.com. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Don't Forget Your Purpose. It's by Charles Kahn. A preacher was in Atlanta several years ago and noticed in the restaurant's section of the Yellow Pages an entry for a place called Church of God Grill. The peculiar name aroused his curiosity, and he dialed a number. A man answered with a cheery, "Hello, Church of God Grill." The preacher asked how that restaurant had been given such an unusual name. The man said, "Well, we had a little mission down here, and we started selling chicken dinners after church on Sundays to help pay the bills." Well, people liked the chicken, and we did such a good business that eventually we cut back on the church service. After a while, we just closed down the church altogether and kept on serving chicken dinners. We kept the name we started with, and that's Church of God Grill. Ephesians 2:10 reminds us, we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Thanks so much, Glenn. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead. Let your light shine before all. We'll see you tomorrow.